evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Spur of the Moment podcast with your host, Shane Daigie, and co-host, Drew Daigie.
Yes, I'm very excited to be on this Spurs podcast. It's going to be an amazing time.
Heck yeah. And we come coming off a big win tonight at Utah over the Utah Jazz, who had an 8-game winning streak going into that game. What a great win, and what a great time for our first episode. Your thoughts?
It was a great team win. Lonnie Walker, that play was Lonnie Walker's best play I've ever seen in that clutch time. We need to see that from Lonnie. I like that from Lonnie.
Lonnie's big story is he's got a lot of energy, and tonight was an excellent night for him. 19 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, hit 3 threes. Great night off the bench for both Lonnie and Devin Vassell.
Yes. Also, Keldon Johnson lighting it up from the 3-point range, going 4 for 5, 24 points, 8 rebounds. That is what we want to see from Keldon Johnson, big power forward there, small forward.
And same old from DeJounte Murray, another triple-double. He's making a habit of that. And who else is coming on and coming in hot the last 10 to 15 ball games?
Derek White.
Yes.
He's finally showing us what we've got. We gave him a deal, and he's finally showing that he deserves that money.
Oh, and that's big for him after a lot of injuries last year and a slow start and a bumpy start. But he's really coming on, 22 points tonight. That's a great game and a great way to start off our Spur of the Moment podcast. We've got a couple topics we're going to mention tonight and kind of go over, and then we'll leave it up to discussion. And then as it develops, we're going to invite you guys to ask some questions and just meet with us and talk Spurs, our favorite team. Drew, you want to start off with your first topic of the night?
So, I want to talk about Keldon Johnson's 3-point barrage. He's really lighting it up from there. Shooting 45% on the road. And his last 10 games, he's shooting 53%. Lighting it up. That's first in the NBA in the 10-game span.
Really?
What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's awesome. I think Keldon he's still a young buck, and I know he wanted to work on developing every facet of his game, but you can obviously see the 3-point shot for him is really coming on strong, especially as of late. That is scorching hot.
Yes, we really need that from him.
For sure. All right. So Keldon, the interesting thing about him is when you look at age, and I think about this a lot with the Spurs. Look at age 22 years old. There's still a lot of development and improvement. But if it continues at this rate, it's going to be a lot of fun in the next few years for the Spurs. What do you think?
Yes, we're going to have a lot. This is a down year getting our players back. They're getting older and maturing out of that. Like Lonnie Walker is going to get more mature and get better with the skills.
Lonnie Walker, another young buck for the Spurs. Talking about Keldon at 22, Lonnie Walker's 23 years old. This is still a baby team, and whenever they get big wins like that, it makes them a grown man type team. Whenever they go into Utah and beat the mighty Utah Jazz. All right, so we just like to bounce from his topic to my topic. My first question for you is, I mean, we talked about this earlier with Derek White, but what is Derek White's ceiling? Like, how good can he be? We've seen it's been hotter lately. Like, before the season, I don't know if you remember that conversation we had whenever we were talking about who we thought the leading scorer was going to be, and I was adamant about Derek White, and my confidence got rattled a little bit there in the middle of the season because he wasn't putting up the points. But lately, oh, man. What do you think his ceiling is, Drew?
I think his ceiling is a third or second option on this San Antonio Spurs team. He could maybe even be the first option.
I was going to say.
if he improves that much, he could be the first option on this team.
Okay, well, I would say, I would argue that sometimes he is the first option.
Yes.
Obviously, DeJounte Murray has made a huge impact this year, but D. White lately is showing us what kind of player he's capable of being. All right, we're going to bounce it back to Drew with his next topic.
My next topic is, how can Lonnie Walker improve?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think it's a relatively easy one with the answer, but not an easy one with the solution. So the easy answer is he can become more consistent, right? Because he'll have these big outbursts, these big 19-point games, and then be non-existent the next game. And if we can just get that pattern of him coming off the bench and being that spark plug for us, now, that's easier said than done, right?
Yeah. It's easier said than done. He is very inconsistent, like Dad just said.
Yep. Very, but he's got the energy and he's got the passion for the Spurs, and that's a big deal for the Spurs culture is to have that passion and chemistry with the team. So I just think working on that consistency and really just coming with it every night. I mean, you're going to have off nights. That's the NBA. It happens to everybody. Going to have off nights, but that's what are you? All right, next one. Back to you, or is it back to me?
It's back to me. I just asked you the question about Lonnie.
You said back to you.
Back to you.
Oh, back to you. Back to you. All right. So we've talked about this one a lot, and this is there's a lot of question with this one. What do you see as Thad Young's future? Whether with the Spurs or with that?
I feel like his future could be in Phoenix. He could be bought out. There's a lot of different options for Thaddeus Young. One situation that I'm looking at that I'd like to happen, I think that Jalen Smith for Thaddeus Young would be a really good trade for both teams.
You get that veteran experience on an obvious championship contender, and you get a young former high draft pick sent the Spurs way. Okay, I like that. I think that Suns rumor has been going on really, really long, and I'm a big believer that, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, but it seems like it's been going on forever.
Yeah.
And sometimes too much smoke means that the fire really near? And so I don't know, but it feels a lot like the LaMarcus Aldridge situation last year where – They keep on talking about a trade, but the trade's not getting done. And so I think, it's tough to predict, but if I'm a betting man, I think he's going to get bought out right before that deadline again, like LA did last year. And, I think we're not going to get much in return for him, which isn't a great thing for the Spurs as a team, but also, we're getting a lot of development from the young guys right now, and I think that just puts him on, unfortunately for him, puts him on the bench more. He's a quality player. Mm-hmm. I don't hate on Thad Young.
Yeah. He's better than Eubanks.
We agree with that, but guess who's getting more minutes lately?
Eubanks.
Pops likes Eubanks for some reason, which will bring me to my topic later on in the podcast, because I have maybe a different take that hasn't been talked about that much, but we'll get to that later. Drew, your turn.
Okay. Do you think John Lindell deserves more minutes on the San Antonio Spurs roster?
So we keep on going back to the bullseye topic, Drew Eubanks. And, he's a hard worker. He's a hard worker, but there's not much it factor there. Love him to death. I know the teammates, they see what he's, but there's just a lot of missed opportunities sometimes. It's not for lack of heart. That's an unfortunate thing. So that takes me to Jock Landale. I think Jock's got some lightning in his game a little bit. Shoot the three ball. He's a big body. But I was able to watch him play in the Olympics last year. Jock Landale with the Australia team, with Patty Mills and those guys. Really good. And he was banging with NBA talent up and down the court. So why we draw him back on the minutes is beyond me a little bit. But I do think eventually you're going to see we don't have a whole lot of big man depth, especially young big man depth that we want to develop. But I think eventually you're going to see Jock get a lot more minutes as this season goes on. I think it's inevitable. And that's why they sent him down to the G League, yes. I think, so he could get some full game time.
Yeah, full game time and just get action.
Yeah. So Jock Landale, one to watch. I mean, let's see. Tonight he got in 6 minutes, 2 points, no rebounds, put up a three, didn't hit. But 6 minutes is – that gets more, a little more comparable to Drew Eubanks. Drew had nine tonight. Plays hard, always does play hard. But was 1 of 4 shooting. And, you know, just Eubanks is Eubanks. It is what it is. All right, so we're going to shift gears to a topic that probably isn't talked about at all.
And Spurs, it needs to be talked about more.
It does. It needs, but I had done a lot of research on this, and I knew it whenever he got signed and whenever he the Spurs ended up landing him this offseason, put him on a two-way contract, but Devontae Kaycock. He has been going off for the Austin Spurs. Your thoughts?
I think he is a really good player. I do not know if he's ready to be in the NBA just yet.
So, Drew, while I was doing my research and my fact-checking, was kind of being devil's advocate and going against me with a lot of the research. But I want to take you through some Devontae Kaycock history, because we talk about big man depth. He's a big body, big, thick body, 6'8", 240. Played college ball at UNC Wilmington, okay? And I know you're going to say, well, this doesn't translate to the NBA. And I get that. I get that argument 100%. But his sophomore year led the nation in field goal percentage, which tells you efficient player. Okay, I'm gonna leave that there. Does that transfer to the NBA? Well, yes. If you're making a high field goal percentage, any way you slice it, 80% is what he led the nation. Of course, that's a lot of short shots, a lot of dunks, a lot of stuff in the paint. But efficiency, whether he has a roll of 3 minutes a night or 5 minutes a night, is a strong suit in this NBA and for your future. Another thing that Mr. Kaycock has, junior year. So he led the nation in field goal percentage. Division I, led the nation in field goal percentage as a sophomore. Junior year, led the nation in rebounding. In all of Division I, 13.5 a game. Again, we're still talking about college stuff, so a lot of people can be naysayers, which is fine. But again, efficiency. 13.5, not everybody in the world is getting 13.5 boards a game. Not everybody in the world is getting 80% from field. Okay, and you can say UNC Wilmington. And one of Drew's arguments earlier was, who has he played? Well, I looked up East Carolina, LSU, Valpo, some big name programs were some of those games against. Then his senior year, guess what? You can't find many guys in the NBA that have led the nation in three different categories 3 years in a row. So he led it in field goal percentage as a sophomore, junior year led it in rebounding, senior year led it in double-doubles with 22. So he has been an efficient player his entire college career. So now let's take him to the G League. With the Lakers in the G League, guess what? First team, all G League. And again, I know it's not the NBA, but it's closer. It's closer to the college. And he was still a first-team player. Efficiency at any level is efficiency. The guy that's doing his the low man on the totem pole at his job being efficient will work his way up that ladder as long as efficiency is part of his game. I think Mr. Kaycock is that. Okay. All G League, all NBA G League first team last year. So let's take to his last game. 32 points, 16 rebounds. I don't care if that's in the park against a bunch of 40-year-old men. 32 points and 16 rebounds is pretty solid in basketball game. But for the season, 21.1 points, 12.3 rebounds. Your thoughts after what we talked about before the pod?
Yes, I feel like he could be a great addition to the Spurs since we're missing depth on big guys. We need big guys. Drew Eubanks is good, but I think Kaycock can maybe higher his expectations. And also, what year did Kaycock get drafted?
I believe it was 2018, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
Why do you ask? Is that all right?
Because I want to know if he had like any troubles or anything.
No troubles that I'm aware of. But will it happen this year? Who knows? He is on a two-way contract. I'm just saying, keep an eye out for him in the future.
You got to keep an eye on him. Yes.
Yeah. He may not be there now, but I wanted to touch on that because that's a under-discussed deal in Spurs circles. And I think we may have a little model of efficiency, whether he's the last guy on the bench, but I think he will be able to help the San Antonio Spurs at some point in his career. All right. So we're going to go back to the win tonight and then what we got looking ahead for the Spurs after that. Solid 128-126 over the Utah Jazz in Utah. And we've got a day off tomorrow and then be back at the Sacramento. Yep. Who we played earlier in the year, correct?
Yes.
And how'd that go? Do you remember? We're looking at it right now, early in the year. I remembered we beat them pretty badly.
We beat them by 19 points.
Yeah.
Scored a lot of points that game, 136. DeJounte had 26.
Yeah, that was at home. That was a home game. This one's going to be on the road, so always a little bit tougher when you're on the road. I do like the day off in between, and that's the first game of a back-to-back. So I think it's important that we get that one because you know how we are. The Spurs on back-to-backs, not the strong suit.
So who do you got in that game?
The Sacramento game? I think it's going to be, especially after this one, you know, you saw how it was with the four-game streak a few weeks ago. I think the it's getting closer. The Spurs are closer to putting the pieces together for a long, consistent, streak. And I think the Sacramento one's going to be a close game. I think it's going to come down to the end. But I don't know what the Vegas line has that yet. But I'm going to go ahead and say that the Spurs are going to win that game by 4 points. Over Sacramento. Not going to be as easy as the first time against them because I'll always take the road games are going to be a tougher game than the home games against the same opponent. Your thoughts?
Yes, I think that the Kings are going through some of the same stuff that the San Antonio Spurs are going through. They have a young point guard to build around, just like us. And I do think the outcome of this game will be a Spurs win by 7 points.
All right, so that takes us to the Sacramento Kings, that takes us from tonight against the Jazz, great win, to the next opponent, and we'll get back with you then. So, signing off here, this is Shane Dagey.
Drew Dagey here.
For the Spur of the Moment podcast, thanks for joining us.